All right, are we ready for God's word this morning? Amen. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 11, please. John chapter 11. We're not going to jump into the scripture just right yet. I want to talk a little review and then jump into this week's installment of God, Where Are You? You know, we discovered that all of us, to some extent or the other, in our faith journey. How many of y'all believe with me that if you walk with Jesus Christ for more than a year, you're going to find out that life is not hunky-dory? Amen? That Christians are not exempt from pain or sorrow or grief or tragedy. We are not exempt from that. And the Bible says that we are living under a sin-cursed world. Right? You know, immediately after the fall of Adam and Eve, God said, you will work by the sweat of your brow. In pain, he told the woman, you shall conceive children. There will be sorrow. There will be pain. And then if you go from chapter 3 of Genesis to chapter 4 of Genesis, then you find the first murder recorded in history, you know, when Cain killed his brother Abel out of jealousy and just evil desire. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, that Satan had filled Cain's heart to kill his brother. And so you have Satan at work in this sin-cursed planet. Now, I'll probably drop a little knowledge on you here, but how many of y'all like Joy to the World during the Christmas season, singing the hymn Joy to the World? Did you know that we sing it about the first coming of Christ, but do you realize that that was not written about the first coming of Christ? It was written about the second coming of Christ. When he says, let no more sin and sorrows grow or thorns infest the ground, he's not talking about the first coming. He's talking about when Jesus comes back and establishes his 1,000-year earthly kingdom on planet Earth. And he reverses the curse, and then he says, he comes, his blessings will flow far as the curse, finish it off for me, is found. Far as the curse is found, God will bring and establish earthly blessings and reverse the curse that we currently live under. But that's then, that is not now. All that to say that we live in a world where tragedies happen, unfortunately. Where there are premature deaths. Where sickness and disease have a part in life. There is nothing in the Bible that says to us or promises us that we will not have problems of some sort or challenges or trials or tribulations. Much to the contrary, in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, in this life, you will have problems. You will have troubles. You will have tribulations. But the verse goes on to say, in me, however, you will have peace. And we said last week that you need God, if you don't have him already in your life, to live in this life. Who can say with me that some of us wonder at how some unbelievers can manage through the difficulties of life without the Lord's presence and grace and peace? I don't get it either. How do they manage? Where do they draw the strength to cope for these difficulties of life? All right? Now, I'm somewhat of a boxing enthusiast, and I love to watch, you know, it seems like MMA has replaced boxing, but I still like to watch a good fight. There's just no big names in the boxing arena, seems like. Gone are the days of Iron Mike Tyson, right? And Evander Holyfield, the real deal Holyfield, and all these other big name boxers, but now you have some. But in boxing, it is an art. And it seems like everybody wants to focus on the knockout. You know, you go to YouTube and you look a boxing knockout, you'll have all kinds of links. But there is a lost art in boxing that's called the body shot. that if you hit somebody in the body, connect with their kidneys, you'll drop them to the ground. So without any further ado, I'd like for us to see a little clip of this, a little educational clip on the body shot.
Fighters describe that to me as feeling as though a knife has just been passed through your ribs.
It's paralyzing because it takes
and
your
from
breath.
From the waist down, your legs can't move.
Fight fans, welcome back. In modern boxing, some consider body punching a lost art. Finding gaps, sapping energy, and forcing opponents to wince in pain as the air is sucked from their body. However, whilst many sway towards headhunting, looking for the perfect highlight reel finish, it makes the thunderous crack that echoes throughout ringside all the more impressive. Here we look at some of boxing's finest, both of the past and today, that utilize the sport's most debilitating offensive asset.
That's a lovely left to the body.
Good shot indeed. But do you get the picture of a body shot? It's a lost art, and it's a way to drop your opponent and really, in many cases, cause a TKO, technical knockout. Now, that's in boxing. How many of y'all know that in life, we all can, some of us have, sustained severe body shots? You know, life was going great. Out of the clear blue, it seemed like something hit us like a Mack truck, and bam, down we went. And how many of y'all know that sometimes, depending on the force of that body shot that life dealt us, that getting up is not always easy? You know, we've seen that commercial. It's an older commercial, probably 30 years old. Help, I've fallen, and what? I can't get up. I can't get up. You know, that doesn't only apply to elderly people. That applies to every human being that's living life on this planet. You know, I've taken some body shots. Some were more severe than others. My divorce, you know, I didn't see that coming. That was a body shot. It just has a way of knocking you down. Baby, if you have not been knocked down, you have not been alive very long. Amen? I mean, sometimes life will knock you flat on your bottom. And some of us are gasping. Well, sometimes you're so discombobulated, you're just trying to just breathe. So we want to talk about body shots. Body shots happen to all of us. It's part of life. Okay? I don't wish them on anybody, but how many of y'all know that that's where you truly find out that God is faithful? That's where you truly found out that God was on your side. That's when you truly found out that God will never leave you nor forsake you until the end of the age. That's when you find out that Jesus Christ is your resurrection and your life. Amen. Go with me to John chapter 11, please. We're going to look at a story very familiar, especially during this time of the season of the year, heading into Easter. We're going to talk about three siblings that were very close to each other. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, the brother. They were very close. Not only were they close to each other, they were very close to Jesus. They had a close friendship bond with the Lord that not many other people had besides these three siblings. All right? So we're going to read verse 1, jump into verse 1, John 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, not this Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Stop there. When you love someone as a friend very much, listen carefully. I don't believe Jesus has favorites. Jesus does not have favorites. But because some people want to be closer to Jesus, Jesus is going to be closer to them. Right? You know, baby, you pay the price and to get closer to Jesus. The Bible says, draw near to God and he's going to do what? Draw near to you. So every one step that I take towards the Lord is actually two steps. For my one step, he matches my one step with one step on his end, right? That's the best matching program in the history of the world. I take one step closer to Jesus, he takes one step closer to me. I take three steps closer to Jesus, he takes three steps closer to me. Whoo! I believe that's one of the reasons these three siblings were close to Jesus. They wanted to know him. They wanted to love on him. Come on, somebody. There was something about Jesus that they wanted more of, okay? So that happened. He loved them. So just at the very outset of this story, wouldn't we already see that Jesus would do anything in the world to keep Lazarus from remaining sick or from dying of the illness? Doesn't that make sense? Right? So as a dear friend to these three siblings, Jesus wanted them because he loves them. Phileo is the Greek word. It's not agape. Phileo, a Philadelphia, brotherly love that he had for them. Then he's going to try to do, or they thought he's going to try to do anything in the world to prevent Lazarus from remaining sick or even dying. We'll see what happens. Verse 6. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Well, that's not a good ambulance practice. Lord, why would you tarry? Why would you wait two more days? This Lazarus must be very sick. And Lord, time is of the essence, so why would you wait, Jesus? So we'll see here. Verse 7, then after this, he had said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Okay, go down with me, please, to, let's go down to verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been, oh my goodness, that he, Lazarus, had been in the tomb for how many days?
4 days.
4 days. 4 days. Jesus, why did you tarry? Why did you wait 2 days? You know, I believe had he gone at the moment that Jesus heard the news, Lazarus would never have died. Jesus would have healed him, but he waited on purpose for 2 days. And so now he's off to see him. Well, you can just imagine, how many of y'all know that this is a body shot to Martha and Mary? Their brother that they were close to died knowing that Jesus had the power within himself to prevent this tragedy, but did not prevent this tragedy. And church family, can we talk about that here this morning? That sometimes, listen, it's amazing. Sometimes the only time God gets our attention, the only time that God seems to get our full attention and our fervent prayer, is when he does not come through for us in the way we thought or we expected him to. And then all of a sudden, then he gets our negative feedback. Lord, I thought you said you loved me. Lord, why did you do this? Lord, you let me down. Lord, you betrayed me. Lord. And listen, I'm not saying I'm not saying that's always bad. I'm just saying sometimes that's just the way it pans out. We feel let down. We feel that God made no sense. Some feel that God betrayed them. And you're going to see some of this sense of betrayal with Martha and Mary. Because they're going to ask the Lord, they're going to first tell him, had you been here when we summoned for you, our brother would not have died. All right, let's jump into that part. Okay, so let's go down to verse 20. Wait, no, let's go to, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Let's stop there. Mary sitting in the house, that was a posture of deep grief. You know, the Jews would sit in the house and just basically rock themselves like this forward in grieving. They're feeling the pain. The pain is coursing through all of their emotions, through their spirit, through their body. How many of y'all know that pain can be deep at times? It's not just emotional. Pain can be felt spiritually. Pain can be felt. Spiritual pain and emotional pain can be felt physically. You could be the healthiest person in the world, but spiritual pain and emotional pain will work their way through your body. Come on, can I get a witness in the house, please? They received a body shock. Mary is in a posture where she was down. She received a body shock. She is down. All right? Let's move on. Then verse 21, then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How many of y'all have prayed a similar prayer, maybe not about death? Lord, had you come through for me the way I've been asking you to come through for me, my friend would not have died prematurely of this situation of COVID. You know, I was at the gym the other day, and there was a couple of guys that, it's funny, when you work out, you think you're above sickness and disease. I did too. Remember Mama Jen's? You cleaned my plow that Wednesday night. You're like, buddy? you gave me that maternal look. Like, no, first you get quiet. No, can I pursue this, Mama? Yeah, first you get quiet. You're just like, she has this mask covering. You know I'm doing a good job of it. She says, and then when I'm done talking, buddy. Sorry, Mama. I love you, Mama Jen. And these guys were talking about, they both had COVID mildly, and they were not going to get their shots, and their spouses were not going to get their shots. And I'm just listening, and I'm just thinking, these guys, they don't respect the illness. And they said, we just have concerns about lingering effects down the road. Listen, I'm not here to sway you one way or the other regarding the shot. I would encourage you to get it, yes. And I told them, I piped up and I said, I'm sorry, guys, I've been eavesdropping on your conversation. I said, I had COVID and it was the worst thing I've ever had. I said, I'm a pretty healthy guy. I've never been sick, really, never really have broken any bones. Find that wood real quick. What's that, honey?
That was a mistake when you said
that. The Lord's got my back. Oh, don't look at me like that, Mama Jen's. Buddy. So I said, look, that's the worst thing. I said, I got my shot. I got my Johnson & Johnson because I don't ever want to feel that way the way I felt those 10 days, ever. What's the point of me sharing that? Listen, sometimes we can have expectations of life because we don't respect the things that can go wrong. Let me clarify that. I'm not saying we should expect wrong things to happen. That, all of a sudden we become a negative Nelly. Oh, if the only kind of luck I have is bad luck. Right? No, we're not supposed to be that. But listen, sometimes we have to have respect for life. That life is bigger than anything any of us can ever perceive it to be. That's why I say we need God. Because life can deal out some pretty severe body shots. And what are we going to do when we're down? Are we going to blame the Lord? Are we going to say, Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me get up. By a show of hands, who has ever been down and found it tough to get up? There was a season, and I mentioned an illustration. What was it, Wednesday night? It was Wednesday night, where I had a woman that was flirting with me during my separation, and I played along at first, and the Lord was like, Joe, you're not divorced yet, don't do that. And I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, so I stopped. Well, she felt like I insulted her. You know, that saying that hell hath no fury, but a woman scorned is true. I like Terry Fowler saying better, and I call it Terry 316. Women are crazy. Right, brother?
Some just hide it better.
That's right. I was going to say present company excluded. He said some just hide it better. Talk to him. I can give you his phone number here. Forward all complaints and emails to Terry Fowler, Shelbyville, Illinois. I'm teasing, brother.
You got a little trouble with coming, you know.
Yes. Don't I always, brother? Life is bigger than me. So they asked Jesus, she asked Jesus, Martha, had you been here, this wouldn't have happened. What's the question behind that? Why weren't you here? We're good friends. You love us. We love you, Lord. We're close. Don't you think she felt betrayed by Jesus? You better believe it. Let's read on.
I think too, Pastor, though.
Yes, sir.
You got to look at another side to that thing.
Yes, sir.
Because that was also, to me, looked like she thought they were the only one that needed help.
That's right. That's good. Very good insight, sir. Thank you. Okay, so here in, notice verse 22, Martha doesn't stop talking, but even now, let's all say now. Okay, listen to the statement. Even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So doesn't Martha seem to show faith toward the Lord? Even though my brother is dead, isn't she saying in a roundabout way, even though my brother is dead, you can still do something about it, Jesus, right? Can we have an agreement on that, right? Isn't she saying that? Okay. So how many of y'all know that Jesus likes to take people up on their offers? Next verse. And sometimes when Jesus takes us up on our offers, some of us, we fold like a cheap suit, like Martha did. Good visual there, right? Okay, verse 23. Jesus met her at her point of expectation. Your brother will rise again. Look at Martha. She wilts. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She's taking Jesus. She said, Jesus, even when? Now. What is now? Is it past tense, present tense, or future tense? Present tense. Jesus said, your brother will live. And then she takes Jesus from the present to the future. Didn't she? Oh, Lord, yes. I know he will rise again at the last day. Is that what Jesus meant? She set the tone. Even now, Jesus said, all right, I'll meet your even now. It's like a poker game. I'll meet your pair of, well, sorry, people. I don't gamble, but it's just the best illustration I have. I'll meet your pair of aces and I'll up the ante. Right? I'll meet your bet and I'll up. That's what Jesus was doing with Martha. Your brother will rise again. Oh, Lord, I know he will, but it's going to be down the road in the future when all of us rise again from the dead. Is that what Jesus was talking about? So where did Martha take Jesus? To the future. Let's read on. Jesus said to her, I am, what verb tense is am? Present tense. Not I will be the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe this? Oh, I mean, y'all know Jesus gets personal. Oh, he's a personal savior. Lord, why do you have to upset the apple cart? You just won't leave my comfort zone alone. Here you confront me with truth, Jesus, in a loving manner, but you confront me with truth. Do you believe this? Notice Martha. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Is that what Jesus asked her? Did Jesus ask her, do you believe that I am the Christ, the Son of God, come into the world? Is that what Jesus asked her? No. He said, do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life, and though someone is dead, he shall live? That's a question. Martha, do you believe that I am the resurrection, the life, that though someone may die, yet shall he live? And how does she respond? She wigs out. She's intimidated. Lord, I do believe that you're the Christ, the living God, come into the world. That's not the question. What's Martha doing? She's wiggling out. She can't stand the heat of truth. Move on. Verse 28, when she said these things, she went away her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but he was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she is going to the tomb to weep there. Then Mary came where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying to him, see if this sounds familiar, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see him. You see what Martha did? Lord, and Martha and Mary, Lord, had you been here, had you been here, is that present tense?
No.
What's that? Past tense. So Martha and Mary, particularly Martha, takes Jesus to the past, right? You know, one of the things that irks me the most is when somebody says, well, you know, it didn't go the way we planned, but had you been done this or done that in the past, we wouldn't have the mess today. Who cares? That can't be remedied.
It's over.
It cannot be fixed. The question is, how do we fix it from this point moving forward? Not, well, have we done this or that, you know. That's what you call an armchair quarterback. Monday morning quarterback. All the experts that never thrown a ball with 11 guys trying to breathe down his neck to take him down and hurt him, and 60,000 fans in the seats. No, they've never done that, but they know what the quarterback should have done.
Amen.
You know what they say professional football is like? It's 11 men, well, that's on one team, 22 men on the field in desperate need of rest, and 60,000 fans in the stands in desperate need of exercise. See, you get all these freebies for nothing, people. Remember that when I pray for the offering next time. Easy. Martha takes Jesus to the past, and then Martha takes Jesus to the future. Why? Because Martha's present is too painful. But Jesus says, let me be the resurrection and the life in your present. In the literal Greek, this is my last thought. Beautiful. Resurrection and life. You know what that means? Jesus was telling Martha literally in Greek, I am your stand-up and your recovery. I am your stand-up and your recovery. Jesus stood up from that tomb, didn't he? Didn't Jesus recover from death?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that Jesus lives in every single one of us?
Amen.
And when we are down and can't get up, he is our stand-up. He's not telling us to get up. He will stand up on the inside of us and bring us with him as he stands up, and then he'll give us recovery.
Amen.
I felt that one. Woo, that had some anointing on it. Listen, Jesus is your stand-up and your recovery. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. Again, I feel such a sense of awe and holiness now. Father, we pray for those who do not know Jesus, Lord, that need to know him, because life is full of body shots. One body shot can knock us down severely, Lord. But thankfully, you are our stand-up and our recovery. There's that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 that says, we are struck down, but we are not destroyed. And that verse in Micah chapter 7, verse 8 that says, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Do not gloat over me. Because though I sit in darkness right now, the Lord shall be my light. We thank you, Father, for that comfort. Reach out, impart hope. Be your people. Stand up on the inside of them. Bring them off the mat and give them recovery in Jesus' name. Amen.